Sweet. How was watching the game today?
Not as good as yesterday, Dave.
Oh, really? Well, what was so bad today?
I don't know why.
Do you think it was doing it 2 days in a row? Do you think that was
I think so. I think so, yeah.
Yeah,
it was...
I think it was definitely worse. Yeah. I had suggested to you between records that we do break it up with a little bit of the movie instead, but you were adamant you wanted to do two records of the game in a row.
I have my sights on that finish line, Dave, and that's what I want us to hurtle towards. And going off and wasting a day of recording on something else wasn't what I wanted to do today. I wanted to make sure that we kept hurtling towards our goal of 29.
I mean, is it a worry that watching Cats feels like a little reward? Like it would have been a nice little respite from this. Because I don't think it should ever be that. I think that movie's horrendous, and it should never be a little like shining light to these records. But I think it genuinely would have been today. I would have enjoyed watching that movie instead of this.
I didn't watch the game. I didn't. Did you enjoy it? Did you enjoy the game today, Dave?
No, I didn't. No. I think it's still like there's still elements of what I talked about in our last episode of it kind of washing over me a bit. But like a little less today. I don't know why. I think the old quarantine is not getting to me, but you know, has an impact. You know, I haven't left the house at all in like 3 days now because I haven't had reason to go out and do stuff.
I'll be honest with you, Dave. I forgot that we were going to record today, and I had all planned up to go for a walk today. I was going to go for a walk. I was going to leave the house. The first time in quite a while.
Yep.
And go for a walk. And then I remembered, oh, shit, I've got 2 hours until we start. So I was a little bit late to record because I started watching it a little bit late. And I didn't want to cheat by speeding the game up. I was like, nope, we're going to do this properly today. So I haven't been for my walk that I'd promised myself. And so I think I was feeling that the whole time I was watching.
Yep, agreed. I'm definitely going for a walk after, I think.
Yep.
Annoyingly, just because our timing, I probably need to make dinner first. But then after dinner, I'm definitely going for a walk. Which will be solid quite move. Nice. I'm hoping, looking out the window at those clouds, that the rain doesn't roll in by then. But we'll see. Fingers crossed, it's all good.
To be honest, Dave, I would go for a walk in the rain at this point. I'd be like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll get a bit wet, but I'll get some fresh air.
Yeah.
I'll come home and have a shower and dry my clothes, and everything will be fine. Like I would be cool with that. I'd be cool with rain.
I mean,
that's the point I'm at.
It wouldn't be my favorite, but I agree. I think I would go anyway, even if it does start raining.
Yeah. Obviously, you'd prefer it to be nice and sunny, but better something than nothing, right?
I mean, the upside of the rain as well is that there's probably less people out there, which is kind of nice.
Even though there's
a lot of, like, there shouldn't be that many people out there, there still have been. Every time I've gone for a bit of a walk, I'm like, oh, yeah, lots of people, cool.
You also live quite central in the city, so...
That shouldn't really have much of an impact on it. Like the area I live, the housing density where I am is actually not that high. Realistically, it's busy only because people come into town for work. But in terms of how many people live where I am, it's still mostly like houses, like built up houses. There's a few apartment buildings, but yeah, it's
No, that's fair.
It's weird. I didn't enjoy it, but it wasn't my least favorite watch today either. That's for sure. I've certainly had worse, but I would have rather been doing something else. But the thing is, like the stuff I'd rather be doing, we can't do at the moment anyway. So it just felt like I was filling my time with this instead of like something else mindless I could have been doing. Like I could have watched a TV show I hadn't watched before or a movie I've never seen before or something instead. That's realistically what I would have been doing with my time. But instead, I was watching this, which I've definitely watched before.
Does that mean that we can count this as productive time versus the unproductive time of watching a movie that we've never seen before? Because I feel like this actually has a goal to it. Like it is a project we've taken on and we're ticking things off on that on our way to finishing the project. Whereas just sitting down and watching four episodes of a TV show in the afternoon, that's just wasting time. Does that make this better than that? Because I can make an argument for that, but I don't believe
it. I think you could make that argument. I mean, you know, technically this is a commercial enterprise, if you will. So it's productive in that sense. I don't know that the goal itself makes it productive, but I think you could argue that, like, watching a movie or doing something, you know, that is good for your mental well-being is also productive because it was good for your mental well-being. And doing something that wasn't this would have been better for my own, like, personal state than watching this game was.
I'm with you on that. They're both
like productive in their own ways. It's a matter of what you define as more productive.
It's what we do to get through this.
I guess in some ways, this should be more productive because we're obviously providing entertainment to all of our listeners. You know, we're only giving up several hours of our own time, providing a multiple of that back in entertainment.
I hope that all 7 listeners are enjoying what we're doing at the moment. I've read some stats, Dave, and this might shock you, but I would have assumed that with nobody working, podcast listening worldwide would be spiking upwards.
Oh, is it down? Good,
but
good.
Because nobody's commuting to work, which is where most people listen to their podcasts, podcast downloads in general have just fallen massively.
That's interesting. So I reckon there's probably a group of super users though who's increasing their listening by a lot. But I think it also probably depends on the types of podcasts as well, because we're certainly finding that at our place where I kind of like I set up some speakers. We obviously don't have like a main kind of communal sound system, if you will, but we do have a Chromecast in the lounge, and so I plugged in some nicer speakers into that because I'm like, well, we're all going to be at home. Rather than just playing through the shitty sound system that has like is built into our TV, I plugged in some external speakers to it, so it had a bit of you know, grunt to it. But we're really not using it because we all have such different taste, and we're all in different rooms, and we all kind of don't want to distract each other. Reach like just wearing headphones all day and listening to our own shit, which is not quite what I expected at home. Like it is a little bit like an office, but like in reality, we all actually have quite similar music tastes, but it's kind of like, oh, if one of us is in a meeting or whatever, obviously not me because I don't have a job, but the others, you know, do have meetings and, you know, work calls and that kind of stuff. Like they kind of need to shut themselves off from the world. And so like on the off chance that, you know, Mel's on a call, I don't feel like I should have music blazing in the background. So I listen on my headphones just in case her phone rings, you know, like, and so we're really not, it's not a group activity at all.
I think you made a key error here, Dave, because you're saying that you don't have meetings.
Exactly. This is obviously an important business meeting.
We're discussing the future of Gascarin Podcast Network, and that's what's going on in this call right now.
Evenings, certainly more than otherwise. I don't know. Like in my head, it was like, oh, cool, we'll all be home. We could just put on like the radio all day. Not being the actual radio, obviously. Fuck that. No one needs to listen to commercial radio. But you know, like just have music to background today, which we wouldn't normally have when we're at home, because obviously we've been like at work all day, and you know, we want to talk and whatever.
I was thinking about this because I've been in self-isolation, having travelled back from overseas, and I was thinking about, like, at the end of this week, I leave self-isolation and, like, enjoy the bigger bubble inside my household, and I was thinking about, like, actually, like, I'm not going to be able to just converse with people.
Yeah, it's weird.
Working. Like, it's not going to be a situation where I all of a sudden get to hang out with everybody, like, hang out with my family.
It'll be the evenings you get a little bit socialized, but yeah, I'm finding exactly that. Like, I kind of have to avoid everyone a little bit during the day, because, like, I want to be like, hey, let's chat, but it's like, oh shit, you've actually got stuff to do, I better leave you alone. So I still kind of like I'm busying myself with some stuff. Like I'm definitely taking on a lot of the cooking and just doing stuff like that to busy myself, but it's still a lot of like just downtime where I am not isolated, but certainly feel like I need to leave them all alone, stop bothering them. So it's weird. Not necessarily bad, but it's definitely weird. So, and I think you'll find the same. Like in the evenings and stuff, it could be like, oh cool, you're done with work. We can play now. Yeah. But it's, you know, it's not quite like that. It's still like, oh yeah, we're all pretty bored and would rather be doing something else. Cool. We haven't actually done that yet. We've been talking about it, but we're all kind of like, let's wait until we're kind of at a lower point. At the moment, everyone's still kind of enjoying, like, oh cool, I can, you know, just play some video games or whatever. And so there's a bit of that, but I'm pretty sure the novelty of that's going to wear off pretty soon. It'll be like, yeah, let's do something a bit more social. So maybe tonight, we've certainly talked about it, but haven't hit that point yet.
Yeah, that neither. I mean, I've not played board games
no,
myself.
No, that'd be weird. You've been playing a bit of D&D, haven't you? Board games?
Yeah, I mean, I'm playing a lot of D&D, actually. So, which is kind of a board game, tabletop game without a table. But no, that's been how I'm passing quite a bit of my time. Because you're going to sink 4 hours into it, and then all of a sudden that's 4 hours of your day taken up. So that's been good. I've enjoyed that part of it.
Yeah, but you were glad to know that unrelated to any of that, I've been watching a little bit of Critical Role.
Well,
I've got a lot of time on my hands, so I figured why not. I've been using that as a bit of a background to some of my stuff.
Where did you start?
I started at the beginning. Beginning of campaign one. If you start at the beginning, why would you start partway through? That's just cheating.
I haven't watched campaign one. They say that campaign two is like a good place for people to start because it's ongoing, and mainly it's because the production qualities are much higher.
Quite possibly. I wouldn't say the production quality is low on campaign one.
I'll wait till you hit campaign two and then you see what. Yeah. So, but no, I've not watched campaign one, but fair enough. But like that's a great thing to do because they're like 4 hour episodes, right?
Oh, well, at this point, they're probably 2 hours of actual episode. I think they're recording for 3 hours, but there's kind of an hour or so of fucking about as they do like giveaways and donations, and they have a break in the middle and stuff. It's reasonably loose. It takes a little while to get started, and then there's some fucking about halfway through where they have a bathroom break and whatever. And yeah, so I reckon you get probably 2 to 2.5 hours of actual content per episode, but there's also
115 episodes in that one series.
Good, that's gonna suck up a lot of time
it's good, and you're enjoying it. I've already assumed that you wouldn't, which is probably wrong of me to assume that you wouldn't be into Dungeons & Dragons, but
I'm not enjoying it. Like I don't know that I'd ever care enough to play, except at a really casual level. There's a lot of what's his name, Matt, the dungeon master, is like clearly read a shitload of books and knows a hell of a lot of shit. I don't think I would ever want to be that guy. But there's definitely some of the players who are pretty casual about it, like just there to have a beer and a bit of a laugh and don't really do any of the role playing, but kind of play the game. I could engage at that level. So I'm not enjoying it, but there's also a lot of like, why the fuck does this matter stuff that I'm like, fucking hell, we're going down a huge rabbit hole of just irrelevant tangent here with politics that are never actually going to come into play. I'm like, it's nice that you guys enjoyed coming up with all of that, but honestly, why?
I'm quite happy because I've been watching a bit of Critical Role as well, catching up on the campaign that I'm watching, the one that they're currently doing. I've almost made it to being caught up in terms of where they're up to. They've gone on hiatus because of everything going on, but I've been watching a lot of that too with my time, putting that on and doing things. I call it work, but it's not really work. I just sit on my computer, post some shit in some group chats, watch other videos on YouTube. That's what my job is currently, and that's kind of like I like achieve those things, tick them off, and then I can go and have dinner and watch some TV in the evening. So that's kind of how I've set things up for myself. And Critical Role is one of those things that I will put on. I used to watch it at work. I put it on my second monitor and have it going in the background while I was working. But obviously, when you're not at a computer all day, that's much harder. Yeah. So that's how I used to consume it. But yeah, it's good. It's good content. Is this what this podcast is turning into? Just other things you can do with your time?
I've got a few things on my list. That's what I've been doing a bit of today. Okay. And I think just to continue my observations on D&D, I think the other thing that has definitely struck me is how much having a good DM would matter. Someone else who's willing to put in all that work to making it fun for the rest of the group. Like not only do they need to be a good storyteller and all of that, but like just knowing the rules well and knowing all the ins and outs of that, so you're not fucking about constantly flicking through books trying to figure out how something works. And like admittedly, like I don't give a shit because I'm not invested at all, but there's definitely points during the first few episodes where it's like, we're not going to fuck about with that. We're just going to make up this and go with it. Because he's kind of like, I know that that's close enough to what the book will say about how that spell works or whatever, but I'm not going to waste 15 minutes looking it up. And I think that would be key in real life to it being enjoyable, is if you had somebody who wanted to be really like officious about everything and, you know, the whole evening is just spent rule checking, it'd be pretty shit.
I mean, there are people that enjoy that.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, but I don't think you'd want your dungeon master to be that person. I think if, you know, you might have people within the party who want to argue the toss about a rule or whatever, but a dungeon master who can just move it on and go, no, we're not fucking about with that. We're doing this. I'm in charge. Deal with it. Would be quite good.
Yeah. Your observation is correct that, like, the ability of the DM to run the game definitely impacts the enjoyment overall of it. And I think quite a lot of people are particularly put off by having, they play one game and it's with a DM that their style just doesn't suit them, and so they won't play it again. But actually, you find a group or a DM that your style suits, and that's the way you want to play. So for you, it's like you don't want to have to delve into like the massive world building nature of it, but you want to have some sort of, you might want to have some sort of plot line that you're following along, some combats and things like that. Whereas other groups, you'd have people who want to read every single book and learn every bit of detail and really work that into the group, and so that group would be good for them. So yeah, you've kind of hit the nail on the head there. But yeah, maybe we should start D&D with a few of you and me and maybe
who,
others.
Who are these mythical others? We could,
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of people who I think that might be keen.
You'd also need to know a DM who would do this. That seems like the most crucial part. I think realistically you could kind of cobble together pretty much anyone else and make it work.
I could run a thing. I've run a couple of campaigns. So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You as a power nerd, I never would have guessed.
Never. No, because you can buy the source books, and so you can buy books that have campaigns in them, and you can run alongside that, and that gives you the scope. That gives you the overarching plot of the thing, and then you've got scope to like modify it within it. So that's like the kind of way that I have run things, whereas other things, one of the campaigns I play in is entirely like one that's built by the DM that they follow, and so we've been playing that. We just had our 60-night session. Find that? Yeah, thank you. So that was good. That was a very nice session. So you got those kinds of DMs as well who run their own. So yeah, and Matt definitely falls into that camp. Like he crafts his own world.
He strikes me as extremely talented at that. And being like a voice actor as well certainly aids that. And obviously the others being the same helps with that whole thing because they're all pretty deep into that, and the characters are reasonably rich because of it. Which helps. And then the fact that, I don't know if it's true in season two, but certainly in season one, they're just getting like rip drunk every episode. They don't really talk about it. Like they're very subtle for the most part about like not drinking on camera, but clearly they all are. There's a few, he's the sorcerer in campaign one. I think his name's Orion in real life. Yeah. So he gets caught a couple of times in the early episodes, opening beers and kind of spilling them everywhere, but he's like opening them under the table, but you can hear the shh as the cap comes off and stuff, but they're pouring it into, you know, different mugs and stuff. So they could be drinking anything, but they're clearly smashed most of the time, which is quite funny.
Which is much like this podcast. Smashed not most today. Of the time.
I don't know about you, but you were today, talking about your alcohol problems yesterday of your mum not buying you enough bottles of wine. So I won't be judging. I won't question too much.
I'm looking forward to I'm just looking forward to being able to go to the supermarket
just to buy alcohol.
just the experience of going to the supermarket and just being like, I want those and I want those and I want those. Obviously things I'm going to use, but like being able to have, I think I'll do a bunch of the cooking for the household once I'm out of this, and so it's kind of same as you, but actually just going, that's a good idea, I'll make that.
Having the time to cook is really nice. Like I like cooking at the best of times. I mean, obviously I know a lot of people who do not like to cook, but I really enjoy cooking, and definitely this has been a period where I have the time to cook and I have a captive audience who has to eat it, so even better.
They don't have to eat it. They could just not eat it and make their own food.
But they're going to eat it because it's good. Like, I make pretty good food for the most part.
This is an entirely a fallacy that you come up with for yourself, that your folks in the home have to eat it.
Wow.
Like, they're choosing to eat it, and they might be being nice to you by eating it, but I've had your food. It's usually pretty spicy, but it tastes good. So.
To be fair, you've only had my food when I'm, like, I made you a pie that was intentionally spicy. other things I've made you have definitely not been spicy.
No, they haven't. Yeah.
I made you some burgers one time. Yes. That was pretty good.
Yeah, they were good. Those sliders were very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what's exciting today? I discovered, well, not discovered, but I saw something I hadn't noticed before when watching the game.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And I am entirely willing to put it down to quarantine insanity. But I want to say that I saw two Melbourne Victory fans who knew that Berisha had dived for that second penalty. They just after it's awarded, there is a crowd shot, and they are both shaking their heads and laughing. And I'm like, yes, these guys get it. And they're behind the goal at the end that he's dived at. Like, they have a good view of it.
Yeah.
And they're like, no way was that a penalty. Fuck, we've got away with one there. Like, that is definitely the vibe they're giving off. And I'm like,
I've seen those two. Yeah, I've seen those two. Like, I remember the guys, but like, they're holding a beer each in their hand, like looking at each other going, yeah, no way.
And there's a lot of people celebrating around them, and they're still kind of like happy about it, but they're also like, nah, that wasn't a pen. And we've had those moments in the crowd before. We were like, yes, we got that foul, but that wasn't a foul. Like, constantly, because you often at the games would be stood one row behind me, kind of slightly to my left. And often I'll turn around and be like, that wasn't a foul, right? And you're like, nah. But, you know, at the same time, we're, both enjoying the fact it was awarded, and these two guys are definitely sharing exactly that sort of moment. And I think I've kind of passively seen them before, but never really been able to notice the emotion that they're clearly expressing, which is exactly how I feel about it. It's like, there's no fucking way that's a penalty. So that was nice. It felt new. It felt fresh.
Does it feel like solidarity supporters that they felt our pain?
I wouldn't say they were completely feeling our pain. They were still celebrating the fact that it had been awarded. They're not, completely like, oh, that shouldn't have been given. But they're like, it wasn't a pen, but we've got it. Good. We'll still celebrate that goal going in. It's nice. Kind of like, I remember years ago we had a discussion with one of the owners of the Phoenix in New Plymouth at a bar. I actually don't know if you were there, but certainly a few other people from the Fever were. And we were talking about Berisha at the time, and this particular owner really wanted to try and get Berisha to Wellington. Yeah. He thought that would be, a huge coup for the club and would bring in fans. And I was like, I honestly don't know if I could celebrate when he scored a goal. I really would have struggled with that. I think eventually I would have come around, but certainly at first it would have felt a bit dirty.
He would be our dirty. Like, it's like Dylan McAllister. Dylan McAllister was a donkey.
Yeah.
But he was our donkey.
He wasn't such a dick, though, I don't think. He just wasn't a very good footballer.
I'm not saying he's a dick. I'm not saying he's a dick at all, but he was a donkey and he was our donkey. Berisha would be a dick, but he would be our dick.
Yeah, no, see, I don't like that, though. Like, it's why I'm uneasy about someone like Wilson, who we've signed as well. Not because I think the guy should be, ousted from football forever and whatever. He made a mistake, he's young, whatever. But it still feels a bit like, do we have to be the one who gives him the second chance? It's kind of a little bit NIMBY of me, I know that, but it's how I feel, and it's weird. Like, just because they're good footballers doesn't mean we should forget about all the shitty things they've done in their lives and hold them up as heroes, I guess. And someone like Wilson obviously hasn't reached that status yet, and no one's suggesting that. But someone like Berisha is often held up as a bit of a hero by the A-League, and he does a lot of dumb, quite bullshit things that I think should tarnish that image a little. Not necessarily completely, but a little bit.
The difference is Berishas are all on the field.
Yes.
Everything that you're going to do about
completely
it, everything
agree.
They can say about it is on the field. Wilson's ones are off the field. Things that make him a terrible person, whereas Berisha's are on the field. So I don't hold them anywhere near each other. Like, Berisha, by all accounts, just gets really competitive.
Mm.
And that's where it all stems from. He might be a bit of a dick, but he's a competitive dick. And, like, it comes from that nature of it. And so it's all on the football field. And he's not impacting other people. He's not impacting people's lives and that kind of thing.
I agree with that. There's definitely a difference of scale. But I don't think competitive gives you a pass either.
Sure. Sure, but it means that when they're being competitive for your team, when they're trying to be competitive because they're trying to win for your team, you're much more likely to forgive it. And that's why the Brisbane supporters love him, and that's why the Victory supporters love him, because he's doing it for their team. He's showing passion for the shirt, and that I'm okay with.
I still struggle with that. I agree to a large extent, but not entirely. I think you can be competitive without pushing the boundary that much, because I think a lot of people would say someone like Kevin Muscat was exactly the same. By all accounts, nice guy off the field, just gets competitive. And as you say, he injured people. It went too far. And I think, how's it different in some of those scenarios? In terms of you know, lying to get yourself out of suspensions and all of that sort of stuff, is still pretty damning. It just wasn't a physical injury.
That's fair.
You know, we're just ascribing different things to that. So, yeah, I don't know. I think, like I say, I would have definitely found it hard to celebrate him scoring. And clearly the Victory fans didn't have that problem. They were quite happy to have him on board and have him be their asshole.
Well, so have Western United. Like, they've taken him on board as well, and he's not been quite as good for them.
I don't think he's as celebrated there. I think he's actually not been problematic there, but certainly hasn't reached the same lofty heights and isn't as beloved there by any stretch.
Yeah.
But by still, all accounts, not only with the fans, but also within the coaching staff, it sounds like there's some issues there, and I think probably in this case, maybe Borussia might be in the right. But that's a whole different story.
Yeah. I mean, I would happily have taken Borussia at the point in time that we were talking. I think I was there for that New Plymouth trip, and if I wasn't there, I was around. And
yeah, you know, certainly were on the trip. I'm just not sure if you were in the bar at that exact moment where we were having that chat.
I think I was in the other bar, because there were two bars. There were one that we had ended up because it was relatively empty, and it had a dance floor, and there was one that was like a drinky area. The equivalent would be like the one that you were at was the upstairs of Bethel Woods, where it was like people sitting around tables having drinks with the club.
Yeah.
And then downstairs was the fans, like a dance and all that kind of thing. So I was at the dancer one, and a fight broke out on the dance floor. Somebody thought that they were trying to get with someone, whatever, and got flung across. And like the table that we were sitting at got literally flipped by the guy getting thrown at it. And so we went, maybe we go somewhere else.
It was a very New Plymouth experience, because I was definitely at that bar by the time a lot of that was happening. But yeah, you're right. There was a more official proceeding at, I honestly can't remember the name of the bar, but they were serving Garage Project, a Garage Project were a sponsor at the time, and there's obviously only one bar in New Plymouth that was serving Garage Project, so that had been where the kind of more official proceedings were taking place. So it was where, as you say, the club staff and whatever were, and then there was, like, it wasn't a very happening bar, so it was more like, oh, cool, we'll have a couple drinks here and then go somewhere more fun, which, as you say, was a much, much rougher bar down the road.
Yeah, only in New Plymouth, right?
Yeah. It was an interesting time, though.
That was a good trip. The game was bad, I think. Was that the game? I think that was the game. After the game, the Fever Zone was on the edge of one of the stands. On the hill next to it?
Yeah.
There was
this
group. Yeah, this was the game?
That certainly was in New Plymouth.
Yeah, I think this was the game.
I've been to New Plymouth twice. Once was for a preseason. I don't think that was the preseason.
No, I think it was the actual game. Do we say what this is?
I mean, you're welcome to. I wasn't actually there for that. I only heard about it after because I had already moved. So I'm not gonna describe it. I think Smeltsy got a red card in this as well. I think he came in late on the keeper.
No, he did that in season one.
Oh, was it?
No. I don't know. I have to look it up.
I think he got a red card. I think he had a silly yellow, and then he came in late on the keeper.
Oh, yeah.
And got sent. And then Mitch Nichols might have scored, or maybe it was Santa Lab. It was one of those kind of notorious Wanderers players.
The Phoenix went down 2-0 early on, I think, and then they came back to 2-2. Was this that game?
Could be.
I think it's that game, yeah. But after the game, which is what the incident of note we're talking about, there was a group of probably, I'll say, for legality's sake, 19-year-old females. In reality, we have no idea, but for legality's sake, there were 19-year-old females who were quite intoxicated and enjoyed that there were a bunch of strange men in the Fever Zone.
Strange men.
Who would? Well, like, you know what I mean? Like. Anyway, one of them flashed the Fever Zone. That's the story.
The story I've heard is that it was two, but yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, was it two? I can't remember.
You were too busy being a strange man.
No.
Have you written a list today at all?
No, I haven't at all. Nothing.
Well, I've got two more discussion points for you.
Cool. Hit me.
All right. So obviously we know that watching this is shit.
Agreement. Move on to the next point.
That's not the discussion point. okay. But we now having done this twice. Obviously we haven't finished this time, but we know what the experience is like. What do you think the worst thing to have to watch would be? Now, I think I want to put some limits on it. So I think it needs to remain at around that kind of 2 hour length. It does need to have both audio and visual elements.
I
want to hear what you think the worst thing to watch would be, because I think we've both agreed at this point that like watching a win this many times would still be a bit shit, right? We think football's potentially worse than a movie due to the lack of kind of plot. But at a certain point, you stop caring about that anyway. It just becomes, as you say, about like the background elements. We've seen it with the worst idea all the time. Yeah. It's about the extras and, you know, other weird shit on around it. So it kind of, in some ways, doesn't necessarily matter what it is. But what do you think would be the worst thing to have to watch this many times?
I know exactly what this is. And I'm going to give you a bit of a history lesson about a online company to take us there. But Twitch, the streaming platform.
I do know Twitch.
Twitch originally started, it was an offshoot of a streaming service called Justin.tv, which I used to stream a bunch of A-League games on it when I couldn't watch it on Sky. It was one of the early live streaming platforms. Justin.tv got its name from the founder Justin, who started this website to live stream his life. He kind of invented the term life casting. And so he would stream his life 24/7. The worst thing that we could watch is the same 2-hour segment from his life over and over and over. That is the worst thing that we could watch, because that would be so mundane, just watching him sit at his desk doing work. Like, that would be the worst. Maybe he'll get up and get a coffee. Maybe he'll go and get a biscuit.
See,
that would be terrible.
Part of me wants to disagree, though, because I think if it's too mundane, your brain doesn't need to engage on any level.
You still have to watch it.
Yeah, but as you know from watching this, right, like, it's possible to watch it without watching it, right? Like, you could be on your phone and you can kind of zone out. If it's too mundane, I think you have that problem. If it's too easy to not really need to engage with it at all, you can completely disengage from it. You've sat there for 2 hours, yes. You've had your headphones on, it was on in front of you, but you haven't really watched it.
So you've got opposite. You've gone for something that's so engaging that you can't switch it off.
I genuinely don't know that I have an answer. I didn't come prepared with an answer for this. I was interested in your opinion. But I do think because, you know, you get like those I don't even remember what they're called, but there's a name for it where it's like people film like, you know, a train going between two places, like the first person view of the train, for example. Yeah. It's called slow watching or something. There's a name for it.
Slow watching.
It's slow, I'm pretty sure, is in the name. There's something weird, and it's a whole genre of things that people can watch, and often they're significantly longer than 2 hours. You know, it'll be like an 18-hour boat ride or whatever. But I think that's in that same category of what you're suggesting, of it wouldn't be engaging enough. Like, oh, look, there was a pedestrian, or, you know, it passed another boat. But that's not, you know, it's not going to engage at all after the first two or three times. So I think you do need something that stimulates just a little bit, where your brain still locks into parts of it and can't completely shut it out. But I don't know what that is.
Have you seen Scott Pilgrim vs. the World?
I have.
And the opening credits of that are like this big, bright, flashy, book style opening sequence. And like that... not the movie, but that kind of similar thing, that kind of opening sequence for 2 hours could be the thing where it's like so loud and bombastic and bright. And even if you want to switch it off, it's going to be constantly drawing your attention. I think that could be the worst.
And I think the worst should include elements that make no sense. So, for example, audio that changes constantly. So like maybe it's half an hour of someone reading a book aloud, a really boring passage of a book. And then it just switches to loud blaring music for 5 minutes and then back to a book again or something, you know, something that, you know, you'll start to know it's coming, but your brain still can't shut it out. And I wonder if the visual element needs to be completely disparate to the audio. So, yeah, bright flashing lights and nonsense that do not relate at all to the audio you're hearing, I think would be horrendous.
Oh, no, you know what?
And I think you'd get used to it after a few watches. Yep, go for it.
Even worse than that would be watching someone reading a book, but the AV sync is slightly out.
Is out. Yes. Yes. Maybe you sneak like some weird flashing strobey shit, but then also sneak in elements of that. Like, I think it needs to just be kind of constantly this moving feast of nonsense being fed into your brain.
Like comes in and out, and sometimes it's after, sometimes their mouth moves after the sound, sometimes it happens before. Your brain can never quite place it. That's the worst for me, I think.
Yeah, maybe it's moving, like time is flexing throughout. That would annoy me. And then just weird elements of nothing combined with everything, I think, would be the worst. Yeah. And after enough watches, your brain would know to expect it's coming, but you'd still not be able to shut it out entirely. I don't think it would be as easy to just not engage at all. I think, you know, when the drop, if you will, comes between scene changes, you'll probably still glance up. It'll engage you again briefly before you're able to go, oh, yeah, this bit, and so back out again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm going to go with as the worst thing that we could watch 29 times.
Yeah. Good.
Glad we took that one off, Dave.
What do you think the best thing would be?
Oh, a movie.
What would be the easiest thing to watch that many times?
So we have the problem of like the wind becomes mundane after a while. Yeah. Like, that same problem comes
in. My answer for this would be similar to what you were suggesting before, is something really mundane.
Yeah.
Like what's the
I think like 2 hours
the guy with the whiskey
river.
By the fire. What's I can't think of his name.
What, the most interesting man in the world?
Nick. Is that... Yeah, that thing.
Yeah.
Where he just sits by the fire sipping whiskey. I reckon watching that would be the easiest. Something akin to that, where you don't need to engage with it. You're not expected to engage with it. There's not really anything to engage with. Yeah. It's just nothingness.
And I think that
if anything,
like
it's relaxing.
Yeah, maybe some guided meditation through it.
Yeah.
That would be a relatively easy thing to do
because
as well.
Because the key thing I think to be the best thing is it has to wash over you from episode one.
Yeah.
At no point is it actually engaging your brain. It's just, it's just there and you're there and you don't engage with each other. Perfect.
2 hours of soothing, relaxing music. That music that they play under yoga videos, alongside some guided meditation through it, that would be my dream for doing it over and over. That's what I want.
Yeah,
lock it in, Eddie.
Yeah. Okay. Good. There you go. You've figured that out. And where do you think we sit on the spectrum?
Oh, we sit near the end of it.
Which end?
The bad end.
The bad end. How close? Like if the bad end's -10 and the good end's +10, where do you reckon we are?
-6.
Yeah, I would agree with that. If you'd gone any lower, I would have been like, nah, we're not that bad.
Yeah. But also, it does get worse as it goes on. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We probably started at zero. We probably started watching this thing at zero, and it's tended towards the lower end of the scale.
Yeah.
Yeah. Second thing on the list, Dave.
Completely agree. Well, yep. Second thing on the list. Who do you think the best commentator from the Fox team is?
Simon Hill.
And who's the worst?
Best is easy. Simon Hill, without a doubt, by far. The worst is a much harder
proposition. I'm going to give free rein in terms of it doesn't have to be an actual commentator, just a member of the team.
Okay. A lot of people have a lot of hate for Andy Harper, but I don't share that. I don't mind Andy Harper. Sometimes he spouts some shit, but it's entertaining shit. Like he comes up with these really like taking baby from a candy, rises like a spawning salmon, like all those kinds of things. Like he comes up with those ridiculous, and I'm on board with it. So I don't mind Andy Harper so much. Robbie Slater, I'm going to controversially say that I don't mind him too much either.
Ooh, that is controversial.
Because he's not a dickhead. He's he says some things sometimes you're like, no, I don't agree with that, or no, you're just wrong there. But he's not a dickhead. The answer is Nick Meredith.
That's controversial. You're gonna throw your friend under the bus.
Because he's an awful person.
It's interesting.
He's sexist. He's hypocritical. He's misogynistic. He's classic boomer. None of the rest of them really tend towards classic boomer. But he's the classic.
Yeah.
He's the most boomer of all of the Fox Sports team. So, and he also has an DN file. So fuck that guy.
It's interesting. Because yeah. See, I agree. Nick is certainly in the bottom few for sure.
Yeah.
Who would you go with? Archie's a solid shout to be in that bottom few as well, just because he's shit.
Yeah, but the thing is with Archie,
he's just absolute trash.
Yeah.
I would also have Robbie Slater down there as well.
Yeah. Yeah, he's down there. He's not bottom.
I think Robbie's there because you've said he's not a dick. I don't know that I completely agree with that, but I think he has an agenda, is what I would say.
Yeah, sure.
He is very happy to fuel various agendas and has no regrets about doing it. He sees, you know, creating drama out of nothing as a genuine part of his job, which I would disagree with entirely. You know, the commentator shouldn't be doing that. That they are, you know, there's not a requirement to be independent, but there should be an air of independence to what they're doing. It's not about courting controversy just for the sake of it. You know, he'll happily say, you know, the VAR got a decision wrong that was clearly right just because it makes for a better headline the next day. You know, oh, controversy is penalty awarded. That it's like, it was a fucking clear penalty. Like, what are you on about?
Yeah, sure.
But he wants that controversy and drama and is willing to be the one to make it, which... it borders on being a dick for me.
Okay. I mean, that's why I don't dislike Bozza so much, because Bozza is just the mouthpiece for what he's being fed. Like, all of his opinions come from somebody higher up Fox that is pushing the Fox agenda. He never really shares those opinions. And when push comes to shove, he's actually a good guy. Like, he went into bat for all the fans during that fan stuff. And so,
which in some ways makes it all the more kind of clawing when he does... like lay into the fans, like, because I agree, like, I think the stuff where he went into bat for the fans was very genuine, and it was a good thing. Someone needed to be doing it, and the fact he was that guy earns him a lot of kudos. But then when he also like reams out the fans just because Fox wants him to, I'm kind of like, surely you could say, actually no, that's not one I'm willing to help you with. You know, I get that sometimes he's going to express some views because he's been asked to, but you also have to have like that personal line you draw where you go, no, that's not something I'm willing to do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not willing to shill for that cause there because I completely disagree. It's against my moral, you know, my moral set. And yeah, he doesn't seem to be able to do that, which is tough. Whereas someone like Robbie never seems to have any qualms. He's like, I will do anything and everything. Whereas I think it makes it hard when Boz has clearly gone, no, actually, sometimes I am willing to stand up for what's, you know, right, but not always. It's a weird position to have.
I've missed a massive one.
Yep.
And it's clearly, it's fucking Mark Rudan. Of course it is. That's the answer.
Do you think he was one of the worst commentators? Just think he's a bad person like Nick?
I think he's a bad person. I really enjoyed him when he was on the panels. When he was doing Matchday Saturday, I really enjoyed his insight. But since finding out how much of an awful person he is, and this comes back to our thing about Berisha earlier, since finding out how much of an awful person he is in real life, I'm like, no, I don't like your opinions. I think you're an awful person. I can't listen to you. Because I used to genuinely enjoy his insight, and I thought he provided an insight that Bolza couldn't and didn't. So I was kind of championing him when he got fired from Fox. I was like, why are Fox doing this? This is really stupid. I can't believe it. He was the best on the panel. And then obviously we found out why. No, okay, that was the correct decision to make, Fox. I apologize for ever doubting you. But no, it's definitely Mark Rudan. And that's what I was saying about Brisha. Like, Mark Rudan's antics have people wider than just on the field. And so that's why I think he is the worst. That's why he's the worst.
It makes you wonder, though, what things about the other commentators you don't know. Because there may well be similar. I'm not saying there are at all. I mean, this is purely speculation. But, you know, obviously back then, Rudan had a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, that was not widely known, but certainly known within circles prior to Fox firing him. And obviously it got worse and peaked around a particular issue. But it doesn't mean the others don't also have stuff going on. You know, maybe there is a commentator who's a horrible racist, sexist, asshole.
I'm not going to use my platform on this podcast.
That you just don't know because they're not expressing
it. I'm not going to use my platform on this podcast to cast rumors about any employee of a different company.
No. Well, that's not what I'm doing, but I'm just saying, you're willing to say he's the worst because of that, but there's a lot of these people you don't know, and the Rudan stuff you wouldn't know either.
Maybe
and a lot of people don't.
Maybe I'm a raging misogynist, Dave. How would that make you feel?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe. Well, I'd be concerned about it. but I've interacted with you enough on a personal level that I don't believe that to be the case.
I've interacted with Mark Rudan enough on a personal level to believe that that's exactly the case.
Yeah.
And that's the pod.
I agree 100%. But there's a lot who you never would have spoken to or exactly, never heard anything about, right? I mean,
Mark Bosnich's misdemeanors are well laid out by the English tabloids. so we all know what's going on there.
And oh, absolutely.
We love him for it. So he harmed himself more than anybody else, and he's managed to rehabilitate himself and forge a good career in the media. So fair play to him.
Because I'm not gonna put Rudan in my bottom few.
Really?
Only because the question was, who is the worst commentator? And I don't think he was. Okay. I think he's a horrible person. If the list is who on the Fox team is the worst person, based on my knowledge, well, he certainly makes a list there. His commentary, as you say, was actually very good. And
do we stick with Nick Meredith?
Meredith is an interesting case because he's a horrible person and demonstrates that fairly regularly with the way he interacts with people on Twitter. But he also was a bad commentator who couldn't put his bias aside at all. Like his commentary was bad also. And often included sexist comments. And, you know, there was some horrendous shit he said on air that, I am willing to go, yep, your personal life bled over directly into what we're discussing here. So I think it's fair game for him.
Yeah. Who was your best commentator, by the way?
Simon Hill.
Yeah, good.
There's no doubt there. I think I really want to give Daniel Garb an honourable mention. Obviously, he's recently announced he's been essentially sacked by Fox. He hasn't said it in those words, but he certainly has given the strong impression he didn't leave of his own accord. But I think he brought a genuine kind of passion and fun to the job that I don't know a lot of the others do. I always got the impression he genuinely enjoyed it. He was funny in his own way. And I think, you know, there were people who appreciated that. I don't think he was, I don't remember a time where I'm like, oh, this is just bad. Like there were bits and pieces that were silly for sure. Like the Killer Bees stuff that we've talked about ad nauseum. It's funny, but it's not like factually incorrect, like some of the other shit people spout, you know, it's just a little offbeat, which I welcome. I think you need a bit of that.
Yeah. I didn't particularly like Daniel Garb before the season one, and then I wasn't initially on board with Killer Bees, that whole segment, as much as you were, and I got there by the end of it. We were definitely on board halfway through, but look forward to it every watch, and so helps him out in my rankings of Fox Sports employees.
Helps as well having like watched that so many times and then seen him doing stuff since and seen that kind of funny quirkiness is throughout all of his commentary. He brings that every time he's doing it, and I don't think I would have appreciated that had I not micro-analyzed that one segment so much. I don't know that I would have noticed it. I would have thought, oh, this guy's a bit weird, but instead I truly appreciate what he was doing there, and it was good. Have you seen the segment of Garby at he was at the Russia World Cup? he's doing a live interview on the street, and a fan comes up and like kisses him on the cheek during his live cross, and at first he like flinches away, being like, what the fuck is happening, and doesn't quite know how to react, and then he sees it's just like a drunk dude smoking a cigarette, and it's like, oh, okay, that's all right. And the guy kind of comes back to re-engage, and him and Garb end up fist bumping, and then the guy just leaves. I'm like, it's an interesting way of having dealt with that situation. It's humorous to watch. I'm not suggesting that fans should hassle people doing live crosses or anything like that, but the way Garb plays it off is good work, I think. He engages enough to get the guy to go away and then carries on with his cross. Patrick's recording's fucked out, so we're stopping the episode there. We'll hopefully be back for After Dark, though.
Bye.
Wellington have been hit for six.